Shalom to all. Today's office on Hedjin Afchav Beza. We're starting about the sixth line with the word Tanya, and today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Merim Sarabas Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shalosh Haven Olia. Now the word brought a pasuk Es Mishnah Torah to teach that a Jewish king has to have two sifrei Torah, the lashon of Mishnah meaning double. It then brought a brisa with a different understanding. According to Rabbi Yossi, the Torah was originally given and written in a script called Ksav Ivri, ancient Hebrew, but later on in the days of Ezra, it was switched to Ksav Ashuris, which is what we use till this day. As we've seen from a pasuk in Daniel, Loi Chahal and Ksav Lemikre, which he first when Belshazzar woke up in the morning, there was writing on the wall, and no one knew how to read it except for Daniel. And this writing was in Ashuris, this new ksav that they began using. Now, the ability for this ksav to change is from this pasuk we just quoted, Mishneh Torah. Mishneh here is understood to mean ksav ha'asui lehishtanois. It's a ksav that will eventually change. Now, the Gemara brings this new brisa, or according to some, it's really just a continuation of this previous brisa. Tanya, the brisa says, Rebbe tells us, Batchil originally, b'ksav zed in Torah Yisrael, the Torah was given in this ksav to Am Yisrael, meaning the Torah was always written in Ashuris. However, Kim once they sinned during the time of the first base of Mikdash, Nebuchadnezzar Leroyetz, it became shattered for them. In other words, this ksav was forgotten from them, and Kimi Shechazu Behem, once they were Chazer, they did Shuv in the days of the second base of Mikdash, Hechziru Lahem, it was returned to them, meaning they remembered how to write ksav Ashuris. Or where do we get this from? Because the pasuk says, Shuvu Levitzarain, return to your fortress. This is talking about going back to Yerushalayim, Asiri HaTikva, prisoners of hope. And here's the main part of the pasuk, Gam Hayoy Magin Mishneh Ashev Lach, also today, I'm going to return to you Magin Mishneh. And we're understanding these words, Magin Mishnah to mean that which was told will change, hinting to the fact that Ksav Ashuris will change, namely when they did Averis and forgot it. But now when they're going back to Yerushalayim and they did Shuva, so they got this Ksav Ashuris back. Now according to Rabbi Lomanik Roshma Ashuris, why is it called Ashuris? Shemu Sharis B'Ksav, because it's the nicest, it's the choicest of all the scripts of all the ways to write Hebrew. Now we have our third opinion, Rav Shimon Elazar Erim Mishum Rebbe Elazar Ben Parta Sha'amar, who said this Mishum Rebbe Elazar Hamoydai Ksav Zeh Lo Nishtana Kol Iker. This Ksav never changed. The Torah was originally given in Ashuris and it was always written in Ashuris and was never forgotten. And how do we know this? Shem? Because the pasuk says, Vavei Ha'amudim. This is a description of the Mishkan. Literally, Vavei Ha'amudim means the Vavim, or the hooks of the pillars. And what do we learn from here? Ma'amudim lo'nishtanu, avavim lo'nishtanu. Just like the pillars of the Mishkan didn't change, so too the Vavim didn't change either. And the Joshua understanding Vavim to literally mean the letter Vav. And so we see the letter Vav never changed. And if you take a look at ancient Hebrew script, Ksav Ivri, the Vav does not look like our Vavs. And since based off this Joshua, we know that the Vav never changed, that means that the Vav that Moshe Rabbeinu had in his Torah was the same exact Vav that we have in our Torah. Namely, Torah was always written in Ksav Ashuris and still is written in Ksav Ashuris and was never forgotten, even for a short amount of time. What's another source for this? Va'aymer, Pasuk Megillas Esther tells us, Ve'ela Yehudim, Kechsav V'chel Shoinam, and to the Jews in their Ksav and their Lashon. What do we learn from here? Ma'al Shoinam L'Nishtana, just like their Lashon, the language of the Jews never changed. It was always Lashon HaKodesh, Af Ksavam, so too the way they write their language, L'Nishtana, never changed either. And the obvious question is, Elamani Mekayim, Es Mishnah Torah Zois, so how do I understand this pasuk of Es Mishnah Torah? The previous two understandings taught that Mishnah means this ksav is going to change. The answer is L'shtei Torahs. It's like the first understanding, the Jewish king has to have two Torah scrolls. Echad Sheyatz V'Nechas Zimai, one that always goes in and out with him wherever he is. Bachad Shemenechas Beis Gnazov, and one which is in his treasury. Oysa Sheyatz V'Nechas Zimai, the one that goes in and out with him. Oysa Kamin Kamea, he makes it like a little amulet. V'Tel B'Zrei, and he puts it on his arm, meaning it's a very small one that he could carry around. And where do we get this from? Shnemar, because the pasuk says, Shivis Hashem L'Negdi Samid, I've sent Hashem before me always, and that's why Hashem is always before him by having this little tire with him at all times. Now the Gemara just asks for Idach, what about the other two Manda Amrim, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi, Hai Shivisi Madarsh Bay, what are they darshan from this pasuk of Shivisi? And the answer is, they need it for Rav Chanan Bar Bizna said, to Amr Rav Chanan Bar Bizna, Amr Rav Shimon Chasido, Hamespal, somebody who davins, Tzarch Shira Atzmai Ki'ilu Shechina Kenegdai, he has to view himself as if the Shechina is right opposite him. Shnam, because the pasuk says, Shivisi Hashem Linegdi Samid, I said Hashem before me all the time. Now we go back to this third sheet. Rav Shimon Elazar, who quoted Rabbi Elazar Moidai, that the ksav of the Sefer Torah never changed. It always remained a constant. So the question is, Rav Shimon to Amr ksav zelo nishtana. According to Rav Shimon, it says the ksav never changed. My, how do I understand this pasuk in Daniel of loichalin ksav al-mikra, that no one could understand it? If the words that were written on the wall were written in ksav ashuris, so why wasn't anyone able to understand it except for Daniel? There were also Jewish people there, and they couldn't read it either. According to the Manda Amrim, that there was either a point in time that people didn't know ksav ashuris, or that this was the time that they changed from ksav ivri to ksav ashuris. So it makes sense that it was written in Ksav Ashuris and no one understood it besides Daniel. But again, according to Shimon, the Ksav Ashuris was always used and never changed. Why didn't they understand what was written on the wall? And you're going to have one answer with a number of explanations. Amar Rav, Rav says, B'gematria ichtav l'hayin. It was written in gematria. Gematria over here means a code. Even though the letters were Ksav Ashuris, it was written in code form and no one could decipher the code. And what was written according to Rav? Yatas yatas adach pokchamat. Now this doesn't mean anything as is, and the only one that could figure it out was Daniel. And the way this works is by Atbash, where we line up the first and second half halves of the Aleph Beis right next to each other. So Aleph corresponds to Tav, Beis corresponds to Shin, Gimel corresponds to Resh, so on and so forth. And so when these letters, Yod Tes Saf, so on and so forth, are lined up against their corresponding ones, it turns out to be the following. This is what the Gemara says right now. My partial who, what did Daniel explain to them? Meaning, what did the message say? Menei Menei Tekel Ufarsin. Yod Tes Saf is Memnon Aleph, and another Yod Tes Saf is Memnon Aleph, so on and so forth. So Daniel explained that with the word Menei, Hashem is telling the king, Mino Eloha Malchusach, that Hashem has counted your kingship, Vahashlam Aloch, and ended it for you. Tekel is a lashon of Lishkal, to weigh, and that's Hashem telling the king, Tekalta B'maznaya, that you've been weighed on the scales, Vishtachachat Chasir, and you've been found lacking, and Parsin, what does this mean? Parises Malchusach, your kingdom has been broken, Vihivas Lamadu Paras, and it's going to be given to Mada and Paras. Here we have another three explanations of what the code was. Ushmul Amr Shmuel says that really what was written was, Mamsus, Nankifi, Aalron. And to decipher the code, Daniel took the first letter of all the words and then the second letters of all the words, and that gives us Mene Mene to Kel Ufarsin. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he says that the letters on the wall were Anam Anam Lakas Nisrafu, and this is actually Mene Mene to Kel Ufarsin backwards. Each word is totally backwards. Whereas Ravashi says that it said Nama Nama Katal Pursin, and over here it's the first two letters that have to be switched around. Such as in the first word, instead of it being Nun Mem Aleph, it should be Mem Nun Aleph. And let's say in the third word, instead of being Kuf Tuf Lamed, it should be Tuf Kuf Lamed. And the next Mishnah continue to discuss Dinim regarding a king. Ain Urcham Al Susai, one is allowed to ride on the king's horse. Ain Yashma Al Kisai, no sitting on his chair, on his throne. No using his rod. No seeing him when he's getting a haircut. Not when he's unclothed. Not when he's in the bathhouse. And why is this? Because the pasuk says, you should place a king over yourself. And what does this mean? His fear should be on you, which means you should never see him in a matziv, or you should never do something that will decrease your fear for him. And all these things will do just that. I think where it tells us, Avishag muter to Shlaima. Avishag was muter to Shlaima. Vasri ladonia. She was aser to adonia. Muter to Shlaima. She was muter to Shlaima. The Melachaya, because he was a king, and one king can use the staff of another king, but she was Asr Tadonia, the head to do because he was a commoner and he wasn't a king. Now, as the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, Avishag was a young woman who's brought to David HaMelech to keep him warm in his old age, and he never lived with her, so she was really just considered his staff, if you will. She served him like a staff serves, and therefore, if Shlomo HaMelech wanted to, he could have married her. As opposed to Adonia, who is Shlomo HaMelech's half-brother, whom we learned about previously, since he was not a king, even though he was a prince, he was not allowed to marry Avishag, even though he wanted to, because again, since Adoni is not a king, so he can't use the sharvit of a king. Now the Gemara explains Avishag Maihi, what's the case of Avishag, and that's because the Chsev, one pasuk tells us, Vamelch Tav Zakin Babayom Vagaymer, David Melch was old, he was coming along in days, and his clothing didn't keep him warm, Vayomalei Vadav, and his servants told him, Ivakshu Vagaymer, the king should search for a young maiden who's very beautiful, who will keep him warm, Uksiv, and another pasuk says, Vayvakshu Nar Yafa Vagaymer, and they searched for a beautiful young maiden, and they found her, Uksiv, and the pasuk says, Vanar Yafa Ad Ma'id, and the young woman was exceedingly beautiful, Vatahila Melch Saychenes, and she was a warmth for the king, Vatashar Seyu, and she served him. Now it's from this last pasuk that we see that they did not get married to each other. He didn't live with her as husband or wife. She just simply served him, keeping him warm, and that was it. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech technically could have married her if he wanted to, because she never married David, so it wasn't considered his father's wife. Now we continue discussing this. Amrlei, Avishag told David HaMelech, Nasbon, let's get married. Amrlei, so he told her, Asirously, you're usher to me. I already have 18 wives, and I'm not allowed to have more than 18 wives. So Amrlei, she responded to him as follows, Chasir l'ganava, when a ganav doesn't have anything to steal, Nafshi l'shlomo naket. He holds himself as an honest person. In other words, when a ganav doesn't have anything to steal, instead of saying, I don't have anything to steal, he says, oh, I'm an honest guy, and that's why I don't steal. And she was basically telling David, you're just giving me an excuse that you can't marry me, but in truth, you're not able to have relations with me because you're too old. And in response to this, in order to show her how she's wrong, and that he really couldn't marry her, Amr Lahu, he told them, meaning David HaMelech told the people around him, Kiruli l'Basheva, call Basheva for me, Uksiv in the pasuk says, V'tayv Basheva al-Melech Chadra, and Basheva came to the king into the room, and Amr Behudra al-Murav, he tells us, B'Aisa Shah at that time, Kincha Basheva, B'Shloish Esrei Mapais, Basheva cleaned herself with 13 cloths, which means that the king and Basheva had relations 13 times, and that was David showing that he really was still young and vigorous in this aspect. He just simply couldn't marry Avishag because he already had the maximum number of wives, which again is 18. Now, Rav Shem Bar Abba, he tells us, Bayer E Kama Kashin Gershin, come and see how strict or how challenging divorce is. Jari David HaMelech, Hitiru Lo Yachid. In regards to David HaMelech, the Chum were matter him to be Miyachid, to seclude himself with Avishag, who wasn't married. As we learned in a previous Gemara, after the whole story of Amnon and Tamar, they made a Gzera that you're not allowed to have Yichud yichud with a penuya, with a woman who's not married. And they made this one-time exception with David HaMelech. But still, they didn't permit him to divorce one of his wives so that he can marry Avishag. So we see that divorcing a wife is very chamor. And Amar Blazer says, anyone who divorces his first wife, even the Mizbeach cries for him. Because the Pasuk says, V'zois sheinis tasu, kasois dimas mizbach Hashem, cover the Mizbeach Hashem with tears, bechiv anaka, with crying and sighing, me'ein oid penois el ha-mincha, because it doesn't turn to the mincha anymore, v'lakachas v'tzen miyedchem. Okay, another Pasuk says, v'amartam alme, and you say, what's the reason for this? Alki Hashem heyid, because Hashem bears witness, beincho bein eshes nurecha, between you and the wife of your youth, asher ha-toba gataba, that you have betrayed her, which means you've divorced her, v'chavertacha, she was your friend, v'eshes brisecha, and the wife of your covenant. So we see from the first Pasuk that the Mizbeach cries tears, and that's because of the second Pasuk that a person divorces their first wife. And Rabbi Yechon tells us, Vitam Rablazar, some says Rablazar, Ain Isher Shal Adam Mesa, a person's wife doesn't die, Elmkin Vakshaman Mamoin, unless people ask money from him, meaning he owes people money, V'ain Loi, but he doesn't have it. Shemar Kazah Pasuk says, V'ain Lachal Shalim, if you don't have what to pay with, Lami Yikach Mishkavcha Mitachtecha, why should they take your bed from under you, and bed is a euphemism for wife? Rabbi Yechon says, Call Adam Shemesa Ishtar Yishaina, anyone whose first wife dies, Kil Char Bes Mekdish Biyamav, it's as if Bes Mekdish was destroyed in his days. Shemar Kazah Pasuk says, Ben Adam, son of man, Hinni Yilakech Mukhas Machman Inecha, behold, I'm going to take from you the delight of your eyes, b'magefa, in a plague, loy tispad, v'loy tifke, you shouldn't lament, you shouldn't cry, v'loy savet himasecha, and your tears shouldn't run down. Oksev, another pasuk says, the Navi Chasko related, v'adaber al-ham, and I spoke to the nation, b'biker in the morning, v'tamas ishti b'erev, and my wife had already died in the evening. That's what the previous pasuk was talking about, that Hashem was telling Yechasko that his wife is going to die. Oksev, another pasuk says, hinni mechalas mikdashi, behold, I'll profane my mikdash, k'oinuschem, pride of your strength, machman inechem, desire of your eyes. And so you see from this first pasuk, that Yechasko was told that his wife is going to die, and then the subsequent pasuk of him saying that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, that when a person's first wife dies, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And so when Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanin Amar, he tells us, Adam Shemesa Ishta Biyamav, if a person's wife dies while he's alive, Olam Choshech Ba'adoy, the world turns dark for him. Shemar Kazah Pasuk says, Or Choshech Ba'aloy, light in his tent will be darkened, V'neiroi Olav Yadach, the candle over him will be extinguished. And Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanin Amar, he tells us, P'sayasim Skatsrois, a person's steps will be shortened. Shemar Kazah Pasuk says, Yetzru Tzadei Oinoi, steps of his strength will be shortened. And Rabbi Amar, he tells us, Atzasun Efeles, his advice is no good. Shemar Kazah Pasuk says, Batashichei Watzasoi, his advice will cast him down. And Amar Abarchana, Amar Beichan, he tells us, Kashal Zavkam Kriyas Yamsov, pairing them up, meaning making Shaduchim, is as challenging as splitting the Yamsov. Shanamar Kazapasik says, Elikim Moshe Vichidim Baisa, Hashem gathers individuals to a house, Maitzi Asirim because Sharois, he releases prisoners in an opportune time. However, the Joshua is, I'll take Rim Maitzi Asirim, don't read it as Maitzi Asirim, Ella Kim Maitzi Asirim, rather add a chaf in there that it's like taking out prisoners, meaning being Moshe Vichidim Baisa, bring individuals into the house, namely Shaduchim, is like taking out prisoners, and I'll take Rim because Sharois, don't read it as because Sharois, Ella Bechi v'Shirois. Read it as two separate words. Bechi is crying, Shirois is singing, and that's what happened in Kriyas Yamsof. There was crying on one side and Shirois on the other side. So we see that making Shaduchim is like Kriyas Yamsof. Asking, hold on a second, ain't is that really so? From Rav Yehuda Marav, Arbaim Yom Kamim Tzeres Havlad, 40 days before a child is formed, Baskol Yotzes, a Baskol comes out, Vaymarishon says, Bas Plani Plani. The daughter of this person goes to that person. So it's not hard to make Shaduchim, it's already destined in Shemaim. The Gemara answers like Kasha, no problem. Haba Zivug Rishon, Haba Zivug Sheni. One's talking about the first Zivug. That's very easy. That was destined. But the second Zivug is challenging like Kriyas Yamsof. And going back to wife passing away, on Rosh Hashanah Nachum, he tells us, L'chol Yesh Tumura, everything has a substitute, Chos Me'eshes Ne'urim, except for the wife of a person's youth. Shemar the Pasuk says, Ve'eshes Ne'urim Kisimais, the wife of youth, could she be cast off? And Masna Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchak Berei, Rav Yehuda taught Rav Yitzchak his son, Ein Adam Maitzei Karis Ruach, a person doesn't feel true satisfaction, Elam Me'eshes Rishayna, except for from his first wife. Shemar the Pasuk says, Yihi Makar Chabaruch, Usmach Me'eshes Ne'urecha. So Chavez Amabez on top, Amr Loi, his son asked him, Kagain Man, give me an example of this. Amr Loi, he told him, Kagain Imcha, like your mother. Ask more, hold on a second, Ain, is this really so? Is it really true that Rav Yehuda's wife was so wonderful? Vermikulay Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchak Berei, Rav Yehuda said the following pasuk to Rav Yitzchak his son, and I found more bitter than death, so Isha Sharhi Mitsun Macharamim, a woman who's Mitsun Macharamim, she snares a net. And Vamr Loi, his son asked him, Kagain Man, what's an example of this? Vamr Loi, and he told him, Kagain Imcha, like your mother. So we see that his wife wasn't exactly such a walk in the park. So the Gemara answers, no problem. Miskif Tekifa, she did have a very strong, forceful personality. However, Uburi Ma'ar Mila, she was very forgiving, which means she worked on herself. According to Rashi, she was maveris l'midai seha, and therefore technically the pasuk of umatzeni marim mavis as isha could be applied to her. Bottom line was she was his eshes ne'urim, and he found a lot of karz ruach from her. And continues kasa wife amr shol ra'onya mishmei derav isha gailam hi, a woman is an unfinished kli ve'ena kares bris el misha saw kli, and she's only kares bris, she makes his covenant with the one who makes her into kli, meaning with her first husband, the one whom she has bia with first. Because the pasuk says ki ba'alai chosayich Hashem tzvakas shemai, for your husband is your creator, meaning he makes you into a kli. And tanu we've a brisa ein ishmeis el ishtai, a man dies only for his wife, meaning the one who feels the death of the man strongest is the woman. And ein Isha Mesa El Abayla. A woman only dies for her husband. He feels her death is the strongest. Where do we know this from? Ain Ish Mesa El Ishtosh. Remember, because the Pasuk says, Vayamas Eli Melech Ish Naami Eli Melech, the husband of Naami died, and the emphasis is the husband of Naami. She felt his death the most. And Ain Isha Mesa El Abayla. How do we know this? Remember, because the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu related, Va'ani Bavayimi Padan, when I came from Padan, Mesa Alai Rachel, Rachel died on me, which means I felt her death the strongest. And continue to explain the Mishnah, we said, Ain Roy Nose Vechulu, and we discussed haircuts of a king in the Mishnah. So the Gemara tells us, Tanarban, we have a Braisa, Melch Mestarab B'chol Yoyim, a king has to get a haircut every single day, and that's proper covered. Kohen Gadol, Me'erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, a Kohen Gadol only has to get a haircut once a week from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, whereas Kohen Hedit, a regular Kohen, Echel Shalashim Yoyim, only needs to get a haircut once every 30 days. Melch Mestarab B'chol Yoyim, how do we know this? Shanem, because the Pasuk says, Melch B'yofyoy Techzen Enecha, that your eyes shall behold a king in his beauty, and we know that somebody who has a fresh haircut is very handsome and good looking, and so therefore a king has to get a haircut every day. Kohen Gadol Me'erev Shabbos, the Braisa said a Kohen Gadol has to get a haircut every Erev Shabbos. And why is this? So Amar Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hoyel Mishmaris Mischachos, that's because the Mishmaris switch every Shabbos. We know there were 24 Mishmaris, 24 groups of Kohanim, each one serving for 1 week in the Beis HaMikdash. They switched on Shabbos, and it's only proper for them to see the Kohen Gadol looking fresh and groomed, therefore he has to get a haircut every Erev Shabbos. Now the last part of the Braisa, Kohen Hedid Echel Shalashim Yoyim, how do you know a Kohen Hedid has to get a haircut once every 30 days? The Chesed Pasuk says, V'roshim Loig Aleichu Per Loi Shaleichu. The Navi Cheskel says that a Kohen is not allowed to shave his head, but he's not allowed to let his hair grow either. Kasim Yichs Mos Roshehem, they shall trim their hair. V'yolav Para Para Minazir, we learn Gzer Shava Para Para from Nazir. Ksev Hachas says over here, Para Loi Shaleichu. They shouldn't grow out Para, which we're translating as hair, even though literally it's translated as tresses, T-R-E-S-S-E-S. It's just easier to say the word hair. Uksev Hasim over there by Nazir, it says, Gadel Para Sar Roshai, Amal Alon Shaleishim, Avkan Shaleishim. Just look over there, a Nazir has to grow his hair out for 30 days, so to here, when it says they're not allowed to grow their hair out using the same word para, it means they can't grow it out for more than 30 days. And Utananam, we also have a mission that says, Stam Nazir Shleshim Yoyim, a standard period of Nazirus is 30 days. Ask the Gemara of Hasam and Alan, how do we know over there that this is true, that Nazirus is for 30 days? So Rav Masna explains, Gamar Karkas, the Pasuk says, Kadeshi Yeh, Begematria Talasin Havu. The word Yeh is Gematria 30. And so we see from here that Stam Nazirus is 30 days. Now, really, Papa Abai or Papa Astabai, Ema Loyler Buklal. Maybe I should learn from this Pasuk of Yechaskul, Paraloy Shalechu, that they can't let their hair grow at all, and they have to cut it right away the moment it starts growing, and they don't have a 30-day leeway. So Amalei told him, Iksev lo yishalchu para kiduk amrit. If the pasuk said they are not allowed to grow their hair, then it would be as you said. However, hashach sev, now the pasuk says upara, meaning it says upara lo yishalechu. So that's mashma a little bit the opposite. Para lehave, that they're allowed to grow their hair, shaluche lo yishalchu, but it's not allowed to grow out too long. And so how long is allowed to grow out for? 30 days, because again we have this gzer shava para para. But the market was asking, if this is so, ha'inu nami domidayin. Nowadays it should be just like wine. Mayayin bizman biyahu da asur, just like wine, only at the time of Bia, only at the time of coming into the Beis HaMikdash, it's also for a Kohen to have drunk wine. But Jalobisman Bia Shari, when he's not coming to the Beis HaMikdash, he's not doing that Vaida, there's no Isser for him to drink wine, Af Perui Reish. So too the Isser of them growing out their hair. Bisman Bia Asur, Jalobisman Bia Shari. Only at the time of them coming to the Beis HaMikdash, it should be Asur. But when they're not coming to the Beis HaMikdash, it should be permitted. There shouldn't be this overall Chiv on a Kohen to get his hair cut every 30 days if he's not going to be serving the Beis HaMikdash. Somewhere else, hold on a second. Jalobisman Bia Shari, a Kohen's allowed to drink wine, Jalobisman Bia to the Beis HaMikdash. But Tanya, we have a Brisa, so Rebbe Amir Rebbe tells us, Amrani, I say, Kohanim Asurin Lishnei Siyan Lo'olam, that really Kohanim should always be us from drinking wine. Avol Maya, so what should I do? Shet Kanasoi Kalkalasoi. Now this refers to really a much more detailed Sogya Mesechus Tainis, in which the discussion is whether or not Kohanim are allowed to drink wine nowadays. We know that when a Kohen serves in the Beis HaMikdash, he can't drink wine. And according to the Anakama of this Brisa, it really depends. If a Kohen knows which family of Kohanim he's part of, and when his Mishmar and his Beis Av serves in the Beis HaMikdash, so he knows that today, for example, is not his time to serve, so he's allowed to drink wine today. If he doesn't know all those details, he just knows which week he serves in the Beis HaMikdash, so that entire week he's not allowed to drink, and it's only if he has no idea which family of Kohanim he's from, so he doesn't know when he's supposed to be serving the Beis HaMikdash, then he can't drink wine at all, because it's very possible the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built right now, and it's going to be his time to serve, and he's going to have had a glass of wine, rendering him unfit to do the Havaidah, and he's going to be over alav. So according to Tana Kama, in such a situation, he's not allowed to drink wine at all. Whereas Rebbe says, and that's what we just quoted now, they're really using that same logic, Kohanim should not be allowed to drink wine. However, Takanasi Kakalasai, his Takana, that he's allowed to drink wine, is because of the kilkel, because of the fact that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash for so long, we don't have to assume the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built today, and therefore a Kohen is allowed to drink wine. Now, continuing, Vamar Abai, Abai says, Kaman Chasu Kohanim Chamro Idna, according to whom do Kohanim drink wine nowadays? Karebi, it's like Rebbe. Now, what do we learn from here? Mechalas implies, Derabanan Asri, that Derabanan Asr drinking wine nowadays. Because we're saying that Kohanim are allowed to drink wine, according to Rebbe. Mashma, that Derabanan say, they're not allowed to drink wine nowadays. And so this is a question of what we just previously asked, that we should compare Kohanim getting a haircut to drinking wine, and just like it's mutter to drink wine, it should be mutter to get a haircut even beyond 30 days. But it's not mutter to drink wine according to the Rabbanan. So the Gemara answer is no. Hasam, over there, Hainu Taima, the reason why they're not drink wine is Meheri Bana Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash should be speedily rebuilt, Ubi'in Kain Haroi LaAvayda, and we need a Kain that's fit for Avayda. Veleka, he's not going to be fit for Avayda because he's going to have had a glass of wine, and so he's going to be unfit, so therefore Kahanim across the board can't drink wine ever. Ask more on a second, Hachanami, so too over here, Bi'in Kain Haroi LaAvayda, we need a Kain who's fit for Avayda, Veleka, he's not going to be fit because his hair is going to be too long. So the answer, no problem, Hach over here, after the Misaper Vail, he could quickly get a haircut and then go into the Beis HaMikdash right away. So the response to that is Hasam Nami, they're also in regards to wine, after denying Purta Vail, he could sleep a little bit and then go to the Beis HaMikdash. Domer Vachravacha says, Derech Mil, if a person walks a mil, Vishena Kol Shehu, or even just a little bit of sleep, if you're going to say Ayin, that lessens the effect of wine. So really, a Kain who had a glass of wine and a Kain who has too long of hair shouldn't be a problem either which way. When the Beis HaMikdash is built, he could quickly get a haircut or sleep for a little bit, and that's going to take away both these issues. The Gemara answers, Vlamet Mar Allah wasn't already stated on this. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Baravua, Loishanu, this is only taught El Shasik De Revius. That's only if a Kain had just a Revius of wine, he could sleep a little bit or walk a little bit, and then he'll be fine. Avol Yosem Kate Revius, if he had more than Revius, Kol Shekain Derech Torah Dasai. For sure, if he walks along the way, that's going to make him even more drunk, and sleeping is also going to make him more drunk. And therefore, drinking wine versus getting a haircut is totally different. And therefore, it makes sense that even though the Rabbanon would aser Kaihan from drinking wine nowadays, they would not necessarily be the same din regarding haircuts. Now, we have another answer of what the difference would be. Ravashi tells us, Shisui Yan, if a Kain does the Avoida after having drunk wine, the Machle Avoida, that's Machal Avoida, profanes it and ruins it. So, God's Rabbanon, the Rabbanon made a Xero that even nowadays, Kain are allowed to drink wine. Whereas Puri Rosh, a Kain who has too long of hair, the Loi Machle Avoida, if he does Avoida like that, it's not going to profane it, it's not going to ruin it. Lagos Rabbanon, the Rabbanon weren't geyser nowadays, and they would be allowed to grow their hair out. The Gemara asks Meisvei, we have a brass that tells us, Ve'ilshe Misa, the final Kaihanim are Chayev Misa, Puri Rosh, if they did Avoida with too long of hair, or Shisui Yain, or having drunk wine. So, Bishlam Shisui Yain, we understand they're going to get this punishment if they drink wine, because the Pasuk says, Yain Vishacher Al Tesht Ato Venecha Veloi Samusu. As the Pasuk tells us very clearly, Veloi Samusu, El Puri Rosh, Menolon. How do we know this punishment exists if they did the Avoida with hair that was too long? And the answer is, the Iskesh Shisui Yain Lepuri Rosh. It's a heckish between them having drunk wine and having too long of hair. Dichsev, because the pasuk in Yichaskel we quoted before says, "V'roishem loy galechu, peru loy shalechu." Another pasuk tells us, "V'yain loy yishtu v'gaimer." And what do we learn from here? Mash su yain b'misa. Just if a kain drank wine and did the avoda, he's chayv misa. Apri roish b'misa. So too, if his hair was uncut and he did the avoda, he's chayv misa. Ask the Gemara, okay, umina. So let's learn from here the other way around as well. Mash su yain d'machle avoda. Just like if he drank wine and he did avoda, that profanes avoda. It's totally ruined. Apri roish d'machle avoda. We should say the same thing, that if he did avoda with hair that was uncut, the avoda should be mechol and should be ruined. The Gemara says, Kasha, you're right, that is a good question. This din, that if a Kain does Avodah with his hair uncut, he's Chayv Misa, which is being learned based off of this Pasuk from Yecheskel, well, before Yecheskel and Navi came along, who taught it? It's not like he was Mechadish, just new Halacha, the Halacha always existed, but we're only seeing it from the Pasuk in Yecheskel, so how do we know it beforehand? And the response is, according to you, that was Rav Chizda said, the following thing wasn't learned from the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, until Yecheskel and Navi came along and taught it to us. As referring to a Kain who doesn't have bris mila, not being allowed to do avodah, the pasuk tells us kol b'necher erel leiv erel basar lo yavel mikdashi l'shoseini, that anyone who's an erel basar is not coming to my mikdash to serve me. Will add loy b'yichaskol man amara. Before Yechaskol and Navi came along to tell us this, who said this? Obviously, even before Yechaskol said this pasuk, it was also for a Kain who didn't have a bris mila to serve the base mikdash. El mas be gemar gemirila. That's halachah mashmi sinai. We have this tradition, this mesira all the way back. Va'asi Yechaskol va'asmucha akra, and Yechaskol just came along and applied a pasuk to it. Hachinami so too over here in regards to haircuts. Gemar gemirila. It's Sorry, back in Moshe Rabbeinu, Vasi Cheskel Vasmucha Akra, and Yecheskel came along and just brought a smach in a pasuk. Skipping in parentheses, now we just explain the last part of the previous pasuk of Yecheskel. My kasim yichsumos v'shehem. What's the understanding of these words? They shall trim their head. This is referring to the Kohen getting a haircut. They're not allowed to shave, but they're not allowed to grow their hair out. They have to trim it. What does this mean, trimming it? So Tanu's taught in the Braisa, commit to sparis lulyonis. They have to get this lulyonis type haircut. My to sparis lulyonis. What exactly is this type of haircut? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he explains to sparti yechidah. It's a very unique type of haircut. Hechidami. How does it look? Amar Rashi explains, Roisha Shalzeh, Betzadi Kar Shalzeh, the tip of one hair can bend only until the base or the root of the next hair, and that's the precise length of the hair. Now talking about the haircut of a Kohen Gadol, Shalos Rebbe, the Ask Rebbe, Ezu Tispar Shal Kohen Gadol, what's the haircut that Kohen Gadol needs to get? Amalani told them, Tzu'uru Umi Tispar Shal Ben Alasa, go on and see the haircut of Ben Alasa. And Tanya of Abbas, Rebbe and Rebbe says, Loel Chinam Pizer Ben Alasa Esma Isav, it wasn't for nothing that Ben Alasa spent tons of money. The reason why he did so was El Kadela Harris Bait Tispar Shal Kohen Gadol, this was in order to show what the haircut of the Kohen Gadol was. It clearly was very expensive to get such a haircut, and Ben Alasa spent a lot of money to get such a haircut so that people could see how a Kohen Gadol was supposed to get his haircut. Hadron al Kohen Gadol, Mazel are finishing the second parak of Masechet Sanhedrin, just like we're zechet to finish this parak together, we should be zechet to finish the entire Masechet together, and of course, all of Shas together. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, beginning with the third parak of the Masechet. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.